getting into the Christmas spirit a little bit.
Yeah.
I love this one. So, Father, I just, Lord God, I just pray, even right before we're about to worship, Father, just make our hearts right, Lord God. I know that I kind of woke up a little bit in a funk today, Lord, and I thank you for my husband who was quick to pray for me and just help me out with that, Lord, but I pray, Lord God, when anytime we get in something like that, Father, it's just because it's our flesh, Lord God, and we want what we want when we want it, and we're so impatient, Lord, or we just have so many things that we're not willing to lay down, Lord, and I just pray, Father, help us to do that. Help us to be real, Lord, but also just to be willing just to lay this stuff down and say, Father, we want you just to enter so we can exit. Lord God, just come into our hearts, Father. More of you and less of us, Father. Help us to worship today, Lord God, and I just pray that you lead us. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free to stand up and worship. Christianity is just, it's under a lot of oppression in ways, you know, but when Christmas time comes around, it is amazing to see how so many people want to be a part of it, you know, whether they are Christians or not, they want to be a part of that feeling. They say the Christmas spirit or, you know, everyone's saying happy holidays rather than Christmas, but there's something about it that draws people to it. And it's these tidings of comfort and joy. It's we know the reason that people are drawn to this joyous time. It's not just presents. You know, it is about the joy that Jesus has come. You know, a Savior has come. And it's the way for us to get rid of that sin and to be forgiven. And that is joy. And that's comfort, because a lot of us have this, you know, long list of sin that has been put on us, or the things that we've chosen. But yet we have this Savior who's going to forgive us, and who's going to love us, and who makes us clean and white as snow. And Father, I just think that's so amazing, Lord God, that, you know, you can speak out to all of these people, Lord God. They don't understand, Lord, but help us, Father, to be a good example, Lord God, especially in this time where people, it seems to be a time where more people are searching, Lord God. Help us as Christians, as your children, Father. Help us to be a good display of that, Lord God. Help us to be above reproach, Lord God. Help us to just show your love, Lord God, and your patience, Lord. Keep doing that work in us, Lord God.
Yeah.
us to choose you, Lord God, instead of choosing the hard way. We're not going to have the hurt of this world or the sorrow and or the anger or anything, Lord God, it's just joy, Father. It's kind of unimaginable, Lord, but that's what we get to be a part of, Father. Help us keep our eyes on that prize, Lord God. Help us to try to have that self-control, Lord God, here on earth. I would say it's kind of a practice, but I know that we can't do it in our own strength, Lord. But you will give us that strength, Lord. Help us to focus on these beautiful things to come, Lord.
Then David came to Saul and attended him. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." So it came about, whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed. Be well. your spirit would depart from me. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we listen for the Holy Spirit that now dwells inside of us. May that be the small, still voice that we listen for in our time of trouble, in our time of tribulation, and when our hearts are troubled and we're worried about the world. May we just be like Saul when he called for David, but may we call on you in our time of trouble so that you can rescue us and we can give you glory.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No.
microphone? It's the worship and listening.
On the couch.
Oops, there it is.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Jesus. Oh, man. Sometimes it's hard to make the transition back into the ongoing when we've been able to see just a glimpse of God's Holy Spirit, of God's power. We're grateful for that. Thank you that He is meeting us here today. Pastor Darren is allowing me to make a quick announcement that this coming, I believe it's the 15th, help me out, Erica. Is that Tuesday the 15th? Is a Christmas spectacular concert that Randy Estelle is putting on, which is a world-class piano player in the area. And I get to play bass along beside him. So I'm kind of excited about it. But yeah, it's a neat opportunity. If anyone's interested, it's being done at the Manatee Performing Arts Center, the new arts center downtown. And it's on a Tuesday night. There's two shows, one at 3 and one at 7. I think the ticket prices are somewhere between $25 to $35, something like that per seat. But it's a great opportunity if you're looking for to hear some more Christmas music and to get in the spirit. It's a great way to continue with that with the holidays. So any other questions, I'd love to answer them. But God bless you all. Thank you.
Super good.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you can't afford $25, next Saturday we're having a Christmas party for free. How many here have been to the Christmas party before? Raise your hand. And lots of people. So you all know how much fun we had last year. So those of you who haven't been here, we really have a lot of fun. We start around 7. It's not a meal, but it's a heavy hors d'oeuvres or snacks or desserts. Everybody brings something to share that's fun to eat. We do a white elephant gift exchange. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's a lot of fun. It's like a game. We want you to bring a wrapped gift of $5 or less. That means you can spend $1 at the dollar store on something that you think might be practical or stupid. And we will have a little gift exchange where the gifts get handed back and forth, and it's just a lot of fun. And hopefully Tom will be our MC again, because last year he did an awesome job. It was almost a performance. It was great. If you can't afford a gift or don't remember, we will have extra gifts, so still come. Don't not come because you don't have a gift, because we do have extra gifts that will be supplied for people who either can't afford it or just don't remember in time. Don't hesitate to come. Anyhow, we're going to have a bonfire. If you have a musical instrument and want to come and just jam around the bonfire with others who have musical instruments, we would love that. I have a piano. If you want to come and play a piano, it's a lot of tune, but you know, we don't care. Most of us won't know. So we want to have a good time. It's just a fun time to be, with each other. If you need a map, I have a map to my house, which is not far from here. It's just off of Manatee Avenue, just east of 75. I mean, just east of 75. Little tricky. Well, yeah, but Karen, you got there really easy. If you know where the new racetrack is, off just east of 75, you can get there real easy. And we really want to have a turnout, have everybody come. It's a family time. Bring your kids. We'll have a room set up that they can play in. We have outdoor playground stuff that my grandkids once in a while use. So, it's family-friendly time.
Thank you.
Anybody need a map?
Okay. All right. Well, you guys know that even though we don't have the PowerPoint working for whatever reason, that just shows that we need, proves my point, we need to hardwire that baby in there. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
Nobody listens to me. Whatever. Okay. I won't be bitter about that. So here's what we're doing. For those of you guys who don't know, we've been doing every week, we've been doing highlighting the persecuted church. And what we're doing for Christmas, what we do every Christmas, is we give as a body to the persecuted church. And so what we're doing is one of two things. For those of you who don't know, we're shipping Bibles. Okay, Bibles are going overseas to the underground church. $5 a Bible. They're going to the underground church in North Korea and China. Okay, and what we're doing is we have these action packs. And it's basically, I don't know, Susie, if you have one, you could hold up right there for us. Okay? That's an action pack, okay? You can buy that from us. It's $7. We're not making anything on it. It'll give you a list. There's actually a little piece of paper in there. It'll tell you exactly what you can fill it up. You can do it as a family. You can do, each kid can do something. You know, put in a shirt, put in a ball. It'll tell you some of those things to do. It's $7 a piece. All you need to do is fill them up and then bring them back here, put them under the Christmas tree. And what we're going to do each week, we're going to have, if there's any givers that took an action pack or bought an action pack, $7 a piece. You can see Susie after the service. It's $7. We'll give you the action pack. That's what it costs us. We're going to bring it back in here, and then we'll ship it away at the end of the month. Also, with the Bibles, you make your Bibles. You put it in our little tithe box. It's just make it out to Home Fellowship Church. In the memo section, put Bibles for Underground Church and how many you want. They're $5 a piece, okay? And what we're going to do is, each week, if there are any givers, any new Bibles, we have this beautiful Christmas tree that all of a sudden is lit up. Thank you. I saw Lisa and Jason somehow. Holy so great. And so what we're going to do is, the kids are made stars. And so every time this little church donates a Bible to somebody in the persecuted church, in the underground church, we're going to come up here during announcements, and they're going to put a star up on there. A gold star for a Bible, not that there's any really, and a silver star for an action pack, just to differentiate. And so I know we had some last week or through this week. So if the kids would mind coming up, come on up and put those stars.
Sweet.
All right. Up on the tree. And so we're going to do this all for this whole month. Okay.
Well, there's a slight delay, but it's working. Let's go.
And you guys, can you put that on the tree? Okay, let me move that there. And CD and my keys, can move them off there so the kids don't accidentally step on them. Thanks, Judy. And just from last week, there's actually, from this little church, and I love it, I love it, I love it. Every year, a lot of stuff happens. I think there's 22... stars already that are being hung up.
Amen.
22 gold stars. So praise the Lord. Good job, kids. You guys, every time, I want you guys to pray. Each one of you kids, just pray over it as you're bringing it up there, that God would bless that person with the Bible in Jesus' name. Get it in their hands. Strengthen them. Good job. Okay, just hang it up there. Good job, Zeke. All right. And then each week we're going to have the kids do put up the stars. And then hopefully by the end of the month, God willing, that thing will be filled up with stars. Of course, judging by the height, maybe the bottom is going to be filled up with stars. There you go. Thank you, guys. You're doing an awesome job. Wow, looks like we need a lot of help. That's amazing. You know what? And thank you for doing that. And thank you for being. I know this is not, we're not a rich body in monetarily, but we sure are in spirit. And so thank you guys so much for giving to the Lord. You know? Okay, if I knew how to sing, I'd do. Thank you. Good job, kids. Now, if I was Jason right now, you know I just belt out, thank you for giving. So, yeah.
Do it anyway, Jason.
So, anyway. Also, just wanted to say thank you guys for the Christmas, the Thanksgiving party. Tom and Lori, you guys did an amazing job. There was like 20, 30 people there. It was amazing. And the spread they had was awesome. They moved all the stuff out of here. The kids had a great time. And most of the people who talked to a few of them that were just so thankful that we wouldn't have anywhere to go. And so thank you for opening it up for us. Oh, you got my clicker?
I think it's actually almost working.
All right. My Wi-Fi loving friend. Okay, look at that. Okay, so just some pictures. I mean, the spread was just amazing. I mean, they did such a... I don't know if you can see all that. There's so much food. It was just amazing. The kids had a great time together. Everybody except for Chidi. Unfortunately, when we were out playing Frisbee, he got bit up by a fire ant. Other than that, and so it was just a really great time. So thank you so much for doing that, you guys. Apparently, with Neely and George did this, I don't even know what's going on. On our website, apparently all the sermons are now online. And so you can now listen to them online anytime you want. And
also download them if you wish.
And also download them if you wish. If you'd like to know how to do that, George has a little sheet that he's already made up for you. And so that's awesome. Also, you guys know we meet here at 9:30 to pray. Go through some of this. Women's Bible study. Lisa, do you want to grab the microphone wherever that is? Oh, here we go. Right here.
Okay, before I talk about that, just real quick, wasn't it neat having the kids come in here?
Yeah.
You don't get to see them too often, do you? Well, actually, some of the children's workers are putting together just a little tiny thing for Christmas, and it's kind of like a one Sunday rehearsal, and then they come in and sing the next Sunday. So next Sunday, if anybody that normally comes to church here, like the kiddos that come in here for church, if you want to be a part of that, go to kids' church next Sunday. And you can rehearse for that. We're going to just be doing some songs and stuff the Sunday after that, the one before Christmas, just in front of everybody. So Connie's putting that on, and right, Connie?
She's looking at me like,
we hope so, right? And Natalie, and I'm going to be back there helping them.
Just threw under the bus.
I just brought up this morning. And then this Tuesday is our women's Christmas celebration. I know we have that and then the Christmas party right back to back. So, but we have our celebration and the ladies voted it again. It's our pajama night. Okay. So we have a lovely speaker for us this Tuesday. Miss Gloria is going to be sharing on Malachi. So we're going to have a message given and we're going to have dinner together. And we're going to, it's going to be what we normally do is our, instead of stone soup, we have stone salad bar. So it just means when we all sign up for something, we do salads and chocolate. We have a lot of times that we just basically pig out over the holidays, but we just kind of a fun thing that us ladies do. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Everybody just, instead of cooking a meal, you just pick up something at the store to throw on a salad bar or a chocolate or something. So it's kind of fun. One thing we do need is some help either after service tonight, after service today or Tuesday, setting up the room just so we can all eat together, if any of the guys want to help out with that. But it's pajama and jewels, because some of us have jewelry that we never get to use. And though we want to be comfy, we want to dust them off and actually put them on, some of those jewelry. So anything, am I forgetting anything for our Christmas celebration? Yeah, it's kind of really just going to be really casual. Save your fun cooking and stuff like that for the Saturday party. And, you know, it's just going to be real comfy and casual, okay? We have some gifts that we give away and things like that. And we have a prize that we're going to give away, a really cool thing for you guys as well. So I guess that's it. So, kiddos, if you want to be part of the production, come next Sunday over there or see me or Natalie or Connie. And Connie will happily probably divert you to me or Natalie. And we'll just go from there. But love to have you come out on Tuesday. And Tuesday night, it's for all ages, okay? So bring all ages of girls. If you do not have a sitter and you had a little boy, please do not stay home because of that. Just stick a wig on him and pajamas and bring him along, okay? I'm sure we'll have a big minister because he just kind of started tagging along too, right? Right, Ben? Maybe. Okay. All right. Thank you.
And so, anyway, Jason and I were talking, and so for the next men's group, we're going to have a pajama night. Wouldn't that just be crazy?
Pajamas and jewels.
I'm going to just grumble it. nice sporty pajamas. Jason has a teddy bear.
I got one old school long.
Don't even get that image in my mind. Yeah, thanks. All right. Okay, let me see. If there's anything else I forgot, otherwise we're going to go right into our study. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray first. Oh, yeah, of course, the youth group, yes. And that, is that?
There won't be one this week.
Okay.
Since we're having a Christmas party
okay.
Saturday.
All right, Christmas party Saturday. That's the main thing. Christmas party Saturday. What time, Sue?
7 o'clock.
I knew that, 7 o'clock.
There's flyers on the table out there.
Okay.
And I have some if you need.
Okay. All right, great, awesome. Okay, all right, here we go. We'll go back to, I'll put it for there for right now. All right, we're going to take a minute and pray, and then we'll hand out some Bibles, and then we'll get into the Word again, okay? Let's do that.
Bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. Father, I just want to say thank you for each person that you brought here. Lord, I believe you brought them here for a reason. Lord, I thank you for each person that you have brought to this church, Lord. I know you put them here for a purpose, Lord. It's not just to... just to listen, Lord, it's to soak in, Lord, it's to hear your word and then obey your commands, Lord, and go out. So I pray that you would equip your people, Lord, for the work of the ministry, Lord God. I pray that you would strengthen them, equip them, Lord, to go and do whatever it is you would have us to do, Lord God. Lord, I know all the things that we're lacking, Lord God, but Lord, I instead look at all the things you've given us, Lord God, and we're so thankful for. So help us to be thankful people, Lord God. As we get into your word today, Lord, I pray you open up our ears and eyes to what your spirit has to say to us each individually. And Lord God, I just felt like even during the worship time, I don't know what it was, Lord, I just felt it in my heart, Lord, just a heaviness, Lord God. And I don't even know quite how to describe it in my spirit, but Lord, it was just a heaviness. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that whatever... binding that heaviness is, you would just break it apart. You would shatter it in Jesus' name, that your word would go forth in power of the Holy Spirit and not return void, that it would not be by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord my God. Lord, I ask that you do a work in the hearts and minds of everyone here, Lord God, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Elijah and Joe, would you grab some Bibles there, please, and would you hand them out? If you do need a Bible, please raise your hand, and one of the teams will get it for you. We are going to be in Matthew 25. As a guy, would you turn on a light back there, buddy, for me?
Set a fire.
Yeah, there it is.
As you're turning to Matthew 25, I want to give you a little bit of... How many were not here last week? Would you raise your hand? Not here? Okay. Okay, there's enough of you. Where were you guys? No. That's terrible. Okay. So, all right, if you weren't here, what we did was you finished up the book of Titus, and the last couple of verses in Titus, it talked about that our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may... provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. And that word unproductive in the Greek means unfruitful, barren lives. And so we want to make sure that we're leading lives that are bearing fruit. Jesus said that we would bear fruit that would last. And so one of the things that I shared, I want to give you the context because the context to us studying Matthew 25, we went through the parable of the 10 virgins. We went through that already. And so it was an awesome time. But in context, the main purpose for teaching this passage this time around is not talking about timing of eschatological events, but is talking about the principle of being ready and watching and working and serving and doing those good deeds. Now, we talked about this in detail. Are we saved by good deeds?
No.
It's not faith or works. It's faith that works. Faith produces good works in my life. Okay? And so, but those good works are the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in a person's life. And so, I gave a little bit shared a little bit of concern of what was bothering me, and I was afraid that, you know, in our churches today, and there's so many of them out there, that they really don't know the Lord. Okay? I mean, they go to church, and everybody's singing, right? Everybody's singing. And everybody's coming. They're wearing their Sunday best, or in our church, well, maybe not. But the point is, they're coming, all right? They're involved in Bible studies. They're involved in Christian activities, but they don't really know the Lord. And I gave you some examples of the newsletter and things like that, but the one illustration that I used that I want to encapsulate just for the folks who weren't here was I feel like those people are like the consultant who just opened his brand new business and had just gotten his new office set up, organized, and he sat behind his desk waiting for that first client. And as a man walked up to the door of his new corporate headquarters and walked into the office, the consultant began his act. He wanted to look busy and important, so the consultant immediately reached for the telephone, picked it up, and had a lengthy conversation with none other than the President of the United States. Absolutely. And so, supposedly, in fact, most of the conversation was the consultant telling the President on how he should do things. And supposedly answering questions by the President and giving very wise and very astute answers when the President would ask. And so the man stood in front of the consultant's desk for a long time listening to this, you know, act, this fake conversation with the President. And then finally, he hung up the phone and he said, "Oh, pardon me, sir, I'm so sorry to make you wait, but, you know, that was the President of the United States. Now, what can I do for you?" And the man just looked at him and said, "Oh, nothing. I'm actually just here to hook up your phone." And so when I hear that, I have to say I'm afraid that there are a lot of people who would have us believe that they know God, you know, and they're walking with God, but the line isn't connected. You know what I mean? That scares me. And that should scare you. Because if that line isn't connected, you have no life in you. And when we read that parable of the 10 virgins, you know, they all looked the same, didn't they? They were all dressed the same. They all had their lanterns. But what was the one thing, right? They would all were professing to be a part of, they were professing Christians, right? All was supposedly a part of that party, right? But what was the one thing they lacked? Oil. They lacked oil. It said they had no oil. That oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. There was no saved life. There's no evidence of a redeemed, grace-filled life in that person. And you remember what happened when they all fell asleep. That's right. We talked about that. But you remember also, at the very end, those with the oil went into the wedding ceremony, right? The bridegroom came for his bride. And then what happened? The door was shut. And those came afterwards and said, "Wait, sir, wait! Wait, we're supposed to be in there." And what did he say? "Depart from me. I don't know you." Now, if that doesn't shake you up, then something's the matter. And so the main reason of these parables is to talk about how there needs to be that fruit in our lives, that good works, that good fruit. The parable of the 10 virgins emphasized the need to be ready and be prepared when the Lord comes. Okay? As we're going to get into the next one, the parable of the talent, that's going to emphasize serving and working until your master comes. Okay, there's almost like this... If you've been around for a while, so you might remember this, and maybe Tom and some of you guys, other ones. I want to make sure there's a balance because, okay, the first parable we taught about being ready, like now, okay? Right now. Like he could come this minute, okay? Are you ready for him to come? Are you prepared? Or is it like, oh man, Lord, I wish I had just one more year to get some. I want to be ready now. Now, if he comes right now, I'm okay with that, because I'm ready. If he comes 10 years from now, I'm okay with that too, because I want to be ready then too. But I want to be ready now. And so, yes, we're to be watchful. If you remember some of the old days, I don't remember if it was 70s or maybe 80s. Hal Lindsey wrote a book, I'm trying to remember, Late Great Planet or something like that. Well, anyway, everybody got in this, you know, excitement mode, you know, hey, the Lord's coming tomorrow. And a lot of people sold their homes and gave away all their stuff. And if that's what God had to do, great. And they were just kind of sitting in their PJs, you know, at the women's Bible study, waiting for the Lord to come. Now, I want us to have that expectancy, okay? But we need to continue working until he comes. Mm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
We can get out of balance. Okay, well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I just want to wait. No, we need to be working all the more as he's coming. And so this next parable is emphasizing the working aspect. So we need to be waiting and working. Okay? So let's go over this, because we don't know when the day or the hour will be. Matthew 25, verse 14. Let's go through it now, shall we? Lord bless your word in Jesus' name. Okay. Somebody read for me. Who wants to read for a few minutes? Doesn't mind. Okay, Jason, is that a hand raise? Or is that just, okay. Read verse maybe 14, 15 and all.
Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Now my translation, that's actually said very well. I don't know what translation is, but that's good.
NIV.
Yeah. Mine might be the old one. It says, again, it will be, it is what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey. Who's that man, guys? Who does that man represent?
Jesus. Okay.
Absolutely. That man represents Jesus, okay? And so he calls those who, all of his folks that call himself to servants. That word is doulos in the Greek. So that, it's odd because he's saying those people are identifying them as a bondservant to this master, to Jesus Christ. They're identifying themselves as a Christian. Oh yeah, I'm with my master. I'm with him. I'm right there. I'm identifying. They're a Christian. I'm working right with Jesus. But, and then it goes on to say that this master, right, called his servants together and he entrusted his property to them. And I don't know, but what does that seem to say? That entrusted? What does that speak to you? That this master is entrusting, he's going away on a trip, right? And he's entrusting his stuff with you. What does that say to you?
Responsibility.
Okay, speaks responsibility.
Trust.
Speaks what?
Trust.
He's calling them to be stewards of what he has.
He's calling him to be stewards of what he has. Okay. Good. Anything else?
You should be a light.
A light?
It stands out among the darkness. And the darker it gets, the brighter you should get. No matter how hard it is.
That's right.
Giving him a chance.
Giving him a chance.
I think he's expecting something from them and relying on them to do their part.
Yeah. You think that's true? I do. I think that's very true. That word entrusted, man, that's some of your translations might say deliver to or commend to, but I really like entrusted. That tells me that I'm giving you something very valuable. Yep. That I love you enough that I'm going to give you something that's precious. My own property, my own stuff. I'm giving it to you as a steward. I'm entrusting it to you. And it says it's his property. Do you realize that everything is the Lord's?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I want you to think about that. Matt, we all say, anybody here would say yeah to that, right? But I want you to hear, everything is the Lord's. That means the breath you're breathing right now is the Lord's. That means the house you live at is really the Lord's. The vehicle you drive is the Lord's. The shirt on your back is the Lord's. The voice that He's giving you to speak with is the Lord's. The ears He's giving you to listen to is the Lord's. The time He's giving you to live is the Lord's. It's all a gift from Him. You don't deserve any of it. I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying it's all His. Every little last bit of it. And it says, there's four things we're going to see in this parable of talents. And the first thing we see in verse 14 and 15, at least is what I see in it. The first thing I see is in this parable is the responsibility we have as Christians or professing Christians. Okay? He's saying, so this is number one. You see it in verses 14 and 15. Here's the responsibility. I'm entrusting you with this time. I'm entrusting you with my Holy Spirit. I'm entrusting you with the gospel message. I'm entrusting you with these finances. I'm entrusting you with the mind I've given you. I'm entrusting you with the talents I've given you. I'm entrusting you with the ability to be that mom. I'm entrusting you with these grandkids. I'm entrusting you with this church. I'm entrusting you with the people you have around, with your husband. I'm entrusting you. You see what I'm saying? This is the responsibility we have. It says, to one, He gave five talents. To another, He gave two. And another, He gave one. Each one according to his ability. Hannah, you were raising your hand. I'm sorry, sweetie.
That's okay. You said everything is the Lord. Did you mean everything good?
You know what I mean. Yes.
Yes.
Think about that. I'm probably overthinking what you're saying. So, you know, is evil His? If you're meaning like your job, your all that is from Him. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm just saying like everything that's pure, I guess you could say, everything good, not like
yeah.
Evil.
Right. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Now, obviously, sin, that's a whole other story. Okay, good question. It says He gave five talents to you. Now, some people will teach this, it's a picture of this, but some people will say, well, you know, well, okay, I got talents. Okay, Jason can sing. Okay? Adam can do plumbing. And sing. Maybe so. You know, Anthony can arm wrestle. Okay, I can play the kazoo. What? You know what I'm saying? You know, Susie can do, Mary Kay can do counting. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But actually, a talent was, back in the Old Testament time, was a weight of money. Okay, that was about 75 pounds, and that's how they would measure money. So, what he's saying here is, a talent would have been about 75 pounds of gold or silver. And so, if we would equate that to today, I wrote it down in a teaching I did, a couple years ago. But basically, it was the equivalent of about, when I figured it out, of roughly 20 years' wages. Okay?
20 years of a day's labor's wage.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly right. So what he's saying is, I've given you 100 years' wages. Okay? Millions of dollars. I've given it to you in advance. I'm entrusting you with it. Another one, I'm giving you, you know, whatever, 40 years of wages in advance. And one, I'm giving you 20 years of wages. And so, but basically, he's given each one of us, the picture is, of course, different talents, different abilities. And we have a responsibility to use it in a way that honors the Lord, because it's all His. It says, each according to his ability. What does that mean? It says he gave some five, some two. Does he like, maybe he likes Susie better, she's a five. He doesn't like Dave as much, so it's a two. And then Tamalyn gets a one. Is that what he's talking about?
No.
Oh, what does he mean? What is it?
Different job. According to what he can handle. It's what you can handle.
He gives each one according to his ability. It says, you know, it says, if you read in Romans 12, verse 4 to 8, let me turn there real quick. Romans 12.
I think they all are
4 to 8.
Yeah. Romans 12, 4 to 8. Let me get there real quick for myself. I'm going apart Bible. It says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have been given different gifts according to the grace given us. If it's man's gift is prophesying, let him prophesy in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. You can see the scene in Corinthians. You can look for yourself at Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11. We won't go through that. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as he desires. And so, it's the Holy Spirit that apportions us. And so, we're not all going to have the same abilities.
But do them all the way God would want us to do them.
Yes.
You know, his way. Do it to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. Some of us have been given, folks, different educations. Right? Mm-hmm. Some of us have been given different opportunities. Okay, some of us, I grew up, depending on how you grew up, in what kind of church environment, you might have just heard the same message with a different introduction, a different conclusion, most of your life. Or maybe you just heard little bits and chunks of it. You know, maybe that's where you've come from. Maybe some of you have come from an environment where you're getting the word, the whole counsel of God. That's why Paul said, I've not failed to teach you the whole counsel of God, so you know what it says. If that's you, if you're at this church, I mean, there's a lot of things we don't have, but you're getting taught the word, all of it. Man, that's pretty awesome. You've got more of a responsibility. You've got more of a responsibility. Maybe he's giving you finance. The fact that you're in America, right? Nobody has to slip you a Bible for all these years. And you had to hide a page and dig it up and read it at night and the lights were no longer to be beaten to death at this time. God has given you tremendous responsibility. We have a responsibility to use what he's given us. I guess the question is, are we doing that? Well, let's go on here. So he gives each one of those. He gives us each a responsibility. You know, whatever that is. The privilege, the opportunity, you know, whatever. So first is the responsibility we have. And then in we'll continue reading on, but if somebody would mind, Jason, if you continue to read, we're going to now talk about the reaction we have. So you read 14 and 15. So would you mind reading? Just continue reading like we, yeah.
Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more.
Okay, I'm going to... The first one was the responsibility we have. The second thing is the reaction we have. Okay, do you realize what you've been given? What do you notice about this verse? About that 5-talent guy? Verse 16. Read it for yourself. What do you notice about that verse? Garrett.
He didn't delay. He went at once.
Yeah, what does that mean, at once?
It means got on it. Intentional.
Intentional? Got on it? What? Without delay?
He saw the advantage he was given and wanted to quickly make use of it.
Yes. Now maybe he said, well, I'm too new at this. He just gave me the money. He's going to be gone for a long while, right? I got plenty of time. So let me just, you know, watch some TV. Let me just, you know, relax a little bit, put my feet up. What do you notice this guy did?
He
got busy immediately. You guys have tremendous opportunity here. You can get women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, teen Bible studies, group Bible studies, marriage Bible studies, Bible model studies. You know, we've got an evangelism one coming up here, not too long. Share Jesus without fear. I would love, I'm actually going to beg you to take that course. Only going to be 4 weeks. I'm going to beg you to take it if you haven't done it yet. Sharing Jesus without fear, begging you to take it. But here we go. This man received the 5 talents, and at once he put his money to work. And it says he gained 5 more. And then verse 17 says, so also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. Now that's pretty cool. Now I don't care who you are, if you're in business, a 100% return is pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, do you think God is looking at the guy who got 2 and said, well, you know, I gave you 2 talents, you're only getting 2. The other guy got me 5. Think he's looking at people that way?
Nope.
I don't think so either. Let's find out. We have a responsibility to use the gifts he's given you. You know, I look at some people in our body and I'm amazed by how they serve. God has brought you here for a reason. You know, I'll talk about Linda because usually she's there. She's not here today. She's sick. But you know, Linda's a baby Christian. And yet, she just came to know the Lord in the last few years. And yet, she's here every single week, early. And she's going out, she's buying bagels, she's cutting bagels, cream cheese, chips. She's getting stuff ready, set up every single week. And then after you all leave, after you fellowship, after you hang out, enjoy that stuff, you know what she does?
She cleans
it all up. She vacuums. Other people help her all the time. I see Kelly bringing stuff in. I see Wendy do. Look at the children's ministry people. Did they get any fanfare? Yet they're working. They're loving on those kids, encouraging them in the Word. Man, they're making use of what they have, pouring in. You got the worship team. You know, you had a bad morning this morning. I'm not saying like your worship was bad. I'm just simply saying Amy said she had a bad morning. But she's serving. And you know that you did on Wednesday nights too for the youth? Rebecca, listen, I know she didn't like the attention, but you know what? I watch her serve. I watch Neely go out and pick people up continually. You don't hear about it, but she's constantly carting everybody around for the love of Jesus. I watch Rebecca. I won't do it, but there's been a lot of people who have stayed at her house or gotten back on their feet, or even now, folks that in the teens don't even go to this trip. We're helping with transportation and things like that. So much stuff. I want to tell you something. The servant's heart. I watch. Is this week? She said, "Don't use this as an illustration." But I'm gonna do it again. So. Okay, so I'd done a lot of stuff. My wife was working, and okay, this is a personal story. You don't think I'm sure, but that's okay. It's a good illustration. Okay, so I did a lot of, I was doing a lot of stuff at the house. My wife was away. She was having a really hard day. It was a long day. She was so tired and so exhausted. Okay, so there was one little thing. One of our doggies had doggy diarrhea. Oh, yes, that's exactly right, son. Okay, and it's almost like, you know, like kryptonite is to, like, not that I'm comparing myself to, kryptonite is, okay, poopy stuff is like my kryptonite as a guy. I don't know what it is about that. I just...
Makes you stronger?
What'd you say?
Does it make you stronger?
No, it makes me weaker. Kryptonite makes me weaker.
Okay.
So anyway, so... And you know what? Okay, I did everything else, right? So I was like really proud of myself. But I knew I was feeling guilty, but I left that one thing. I know I left it. I know I did. And so
pretty
I was
stupid
talking.
Thing to do.
I know, it's not cool. And so I left it in there, and I said, oh. And so I was talking with Rebecca as we were waiting for the kids, and then somebody else came up from the church, and I started talking with them. You know what she did? She went in our house and cleaned all the doggy diarrhea and just didn't say a word. He walked in our house, dude. Rude. No. The point is, went in and served in that way. Never said it, never wanted. And then I walked back in to do it because I knew I had to. I didn't, you know, oh. And it was already done. You know, I watch people take in folks from this church, and I think, that challenges me. Somebody who's dying, I watch them take in a family, you know, a person, and that challenges. Some of you guys challenge me in this area. But that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
I think we need to be stirred up a little bit more, don't you? Some of you, I think, should be leading people in doing good works. Going out, honestly, I think God has given you that gift. And I pray that happens in due time. And so, putting that money, God has given you a gift. What are you doing with it? What's your reaction to that? Are you working while you're waiting? Are you serving your fellow man? Whether it be here or wherever. And there's a bunch of other things. I can talk about tons of people in this body serving in ways you don't even know. But there's some folks here that need to get stirred up. Honestly. I'm not attacking you in any way. I'm not going to, point you out. But, see, I thought it would probably turn me out. But the point is, that's what he wants. And it says that, verse 18, it says, but the man who had received one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, it was fairly common in those days, that was like the banking system. You hid your money, right? You go dig a hole in the yard. Remember the Matthew 13:44? Remember that person found a treasure in a field, dug it up, bought the field? You remember that story? Yes. So that's fairly common. Okay, so he's... Now, what do you notice that guy is not doing that the other two did?
He's
working what?
Investing.
Investing.
Not using.
He's not using his talents, his gifts, his... He's not using it for the master. He's going about doing his own thing. Okay, let's see how this is going to work for him. Okay? So here we have it, and we saw in verse 14 and 15 the responsibility we have. He's given us gifts and talents. He's entrusted stuff to us. We see in verse 16 the reaction we need to have. Are we working right now? And then I think we're going to see in verse 19 the reckoning we're going to face. And the King James uses reckoning in that verse. And I've used the settled accounts. I don't like that one as much. But it says this. It says in verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned. And that's Jesus, of course. And he settled the accounts with them. And that word, again, it means reckoned. It's coming to a head. Let's see what you've done with what I've given you. And nobody wants to talk about this, but there is going to be a day of judgment. Mm-hmm. What is Hebrew? Look up Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I had it earlier. I remembered what it says, and now it's escaping me.
It is appointed once a man to die, and then to judgment.
Thank you. You're correct. That is correct. It's appointed a man once to die, and then the judgment. There's going to be a time where we settle the counts. Whether it's, here's the rewards you get, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You're going to see in the next parable the sheep and the goats, man. You're going to see the folks who did for the Lord and the ones who did not. There's going to be a time of reckoning. It's once to die, then the judgment. And it says that long time makes it sound like, you know, most of the people fell asleep, like the 10 virgins, right? Or like in the sermon right now. You know, but a lot of folks fell asleep. They weren't paying attention. It wasn't important to them. He'll be back later, right? I don't need to worry about it now, do I? I do.
Wake up.
Or as they said last week, wake up!
That's right.
You scared the baby, yeah. Okay. Verse 20. It says, the man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. And master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents? See, I have gained 5 more. Or the word in Greek there, see, it means it's ide, and it means Behold, it's kind of a combination of excitement and surprise. In other words, he's going to the master. The master's come back, and he's not worried, thinking, oh, no, Jesus is back. It's kind of exciting for him because he knows he's been working for the Lord. He's not been lazy. He's been excited. He's excited about it. I'm doing stuff for God. I'm not just focusing on one thing. I'm focusing on work. I'm at my kids. I'm focusing on my wife, all for the glory of God. When I go to the mall, when I go to the out to eat, when I'm doing my taxes, everything is done for the glory of God. I'm excited about it. But there's also that word ide, that see, that behold, also is excitement, but it's also surprise. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's also like, Lord, look, I've got these five. You gave me five, and I got five more. Like, I don't know how I even did that. That's because it's Jesus working in you. He's not like, yeah, you gave me five talents, got you five more. Oh, yeah. There's no sense of pride. It's almost like, wow, God, you did this. That's so awesome. Because it's all from Him. You just got to put it into practice, put it into work. It says you're saved by grace through faith, right? But you're also saved to do those good works which He's prepared in advance for you to do. So all you have to do is do it. All you have to do is step forward.
It's kind of like the third man. God gave him something, He gave it right back.
You know, I think of Luke 10:17. Remember when He sent out the 72? You know, He sent them 2 by 2. Do you remember that story? And He sent them all out to places to go prepare the way for Him. And they came back and they're like, Lord, you're not going to... He said, I'm going to give you authority over all... This is what's going to happen, right? But then they went out and they came back to Him. They're like, they're so excited. They're so surprised. Jesus, you're not going to believe us. Even the demons submitted to us. It was like so cool, you know? They're so surprised. He told them that was what was going to happen. But they're kind of... Somebody told me... it's so weird. There was a teaching I did on a couple months ago on working. Honoring God at the workplace. And there are some teachings that I was like, I come away and say, wow, God, that was really cool. And there's some that are like, oh, Lord, your word won't return void. Thank you. And that was kind of one of the ones where I thought, oh, okay, Lord, I know your word won't return. I'm so surprised. Every week somebody has called me or said something, how that teaching impacted them. And I think, I look at the Lord, and I'm like, God, I'm so surprised. Wow, you're so cool. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's like. Somebody look up 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. And you had a question.
Yeah, no. You know how it says He gives you five talents? Mm-hmm. Not only does He give them the talents, He can take them away. He can take everything away within 24 hours.
Yeah.
If you don't do what He said.
If you're not making good use of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we're going to see that. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. What does that say? Who's got that?
I have fought the good fight.
Okay, read on, okay?
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing.
Yeah, there should be that excitement that He's coming back. Not that dread. If you have that dread, then something's maybe wrong. That may be an indicator for you. But let's move on. And Jason, you were reading, but would you continue to read just verse 21 until I say stop?
His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."
I want to tell you something real quick with that. You know, when he's saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that word "good" in the Greek is adelpho, and that basically means, like, totally trustworthy. And good and faithful servant. But what he's saying here, too, when he says, "Well done, good when he says good, he's not talking about, like, good job, you did good service. He's talking about that you are good. That you are good by nature, your character. Good, not just good job of what you've done, good job that you have the right heart and you've done what I've asked you to do. That's what he's talking about. Good job, you faithful and trustworthy servant. Now, that's what I want to hear from the Lord. I want to hear, man, I gave you these gifts and you came through. Thank you. But if that weren't enough, look what else he says. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It's like, not only do you get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, but God, man, I'm going to put you in charge of more stuff. Now, I don't know what that means in heaven, but I'm going to give you more. I'm going to put you in charge of more things. You know, like in Luke, it'll say more cities. And come and share the joy of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever experienced the joy of the Lord, but man, it is amazing. It does, you don't even think about your circumstances. I want you to share in that. Share in your master's happiness. And then verse 22, Jason.
The man with two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more.
Now, I want you to look that the is the reward based on results? I mean, one got five, one got two. What is it based on?
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Right, Chantel. The reward isn't based. Listen, some of you guys might be five talent people. I mean, Sue Berger can read a book in like a day, where it would take me like months. I admire that. Some folks have given understanding or abilities, you know, that I don't have. But he's not going to say, Darren, why don't you sing like Jason? Jason can really belt it out when he worships the Lord. Why don't you sing like he's not going to say that. I've given him his talents and I expect him to use it for my glory. I'm giving you your talents. All I have to do is what he says. It's not the amount. If you're a five, just give him what you got. If you're a two, if you're a one, give him what you have. And he's so pleased. He gives him the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Stop comparing yourself to the other person. You know what I mean? Well, I don't speak like Darren does, Pastor Darren. I don't have the finances they do. Well, I don't have that, you know, affable spirit like Dave does. Stop that. You be faithful and use what you got for the Lord. It says, verse 23 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Same exact commendation. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The exact same thing. The five and the two received exactly the same reward. It says, but then there's somebody else. There's verse 24. This is important. Then the man who had received the one talent came.
Uh-oh.
Now what does he call him?
Master.
Master, right? We read it last week. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord. Didn't we drive out demons? And didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we add all this big fancy stuff? And they'll say, perfect, man. I never really knew you. So he calls him master. And he said, in fact, read verse 24, would you, Jay?
Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
Yeah.
I knew that you were a hard man.
Yeah.
He was making excuses.
What?
He was making excuses.
Bring it up.
Started off making excuses.
He makes excuses, and then he accuses. Do you notice that? He makes excuses, and then he accuses.
He has a warped sense of what God is like. He feels like his life is unfair. We don't know his circumstances, but somehow he feels like he didn't get the fair share here. You know? Life was unfair to him. You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, we might not have the opportunity that another person does, or our view of things can become skewed so that we think, you know, well, they have this and they have that, and my, you know, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Why should I try? I didn't get the same as him. I don't have that opportunity. You know, we take we get an attitude towards God and towards life.
I think that's why he chose for the example the one talent guy. You know what I'm saying? For this example, because, you know, somebody might say, well, if he chose the five talent, well, he had so much, so this guy, I think God's trying to say, he only had the one talent, but still God expects the same thing from him. Even if you have a little bit, he still expects the same thing. Somebody could say, well, the five talent guy, he wasted so much, so I'm not like him. No, he expects the same thing.
With the widow that put her widow's mite, and God said, praised her and said, you know, it was all she had.
Yes.
But it's more meaningful than everything the others had given. Mm-hmm. So even though we have maybe the teeniest little opportunity,
yes,
or ability, if we give it to God, it's even more valuable than
being
five.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You know, it's interesting that both of these ones that doubled the money,
yeah,
got the same accommodation.
Yeah.
It was well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes.
And then I will give you much more.
Yeah.
I think that one talent guy, if he would have doubled his money, he would have got the same exact,
absolutely,
same exact accommodation as his other servants got, and he would have been blessed.
Yes.
And because everybody doesn't have the same abilities, and they don't all have the same opportunities. But you know what? If we seek the Lord, God will give us what we can do,
amen,
with what we have, and He'll show us.
Yes.
So I think it's just using what you have, and then the Lord looks at it. He's not interested in the amount of money. He's interested in that good and faithful.
That's right. Have you been faithful to use what I gave you?
Yeah.
You know, in that word here, listen, guys, where it says, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a hard man. Harvesting you were not sown, gathering you were not scattered. That word know, and I knew, is the word gnosko. And this is important, because this guy, that means I know for sure. I know absolutely this is who you are. Does that sound like, if you love Jesus, does that sound like your master? You're a hard man. You're a thief, basically. I mean, he's basically saying you're harvesting where you didn't sow the seed, and you're gathering where you didn't scatter the seed. You're a thief. Does that sound like your Lord? Is that word hard? You're a hard man is the word scleros. My mom died. She had a disease, an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. It's a terrible disease where it hardens the collagen in your body. So what happens is, basically, collagen holds everything together in your body. So some people could have like 50 heart attacks a day because it's hardening their hearts, or hardens their lungs, or it will harden the skin, their body, so they can hardly, you know, almost, that it hardens. And so he's saying, you're scleros, you're a hard, you're intolerable, you're ungrateful, you're unmerciful man. I know you. Right? Does that sound like our master?
No.
Does that sound like he really knew the Jesus we know? He didn't really know the master at all, did he? He makes excuses and he accuses. We know this guy isn't a real disciple because of his lack and his attack. He went and just hit it. I knew you were this way, so I just hit it. Now, we're not talking about somebody who's like a card-carrying atheist in your face against Jesus. We're not talking about the unmerciful servant, the prodigal son who had to spend all the money, blew it, the brightest living. We're not talking about that kind of a person. We're not talking about the unmerciful servant who was, you know, forgiven all this debt and went and choked somebody, only owed him a few dollars. We're just talking to somebody, I'm just not going to do anything.
And the talent's worth $1,000.
Basically it's 20 years old. But he's just saying, all I did was hit it.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do anything with it.
Yeah.
But I want you to see Jesus' response here to that. Well, it's just I'm just not using what you give me. I'm not doing anything bad with it, right? I'm just not using it for you. It says this. Verse 28. Go, or whatever it is, 26. I can't read through my own writing. Go ahead.
The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant."
Wow.
So you knew that I...
I'll stop right there. Just for, I'm sorry. I know. What does that tell you? You wicked, lazy servant.
He's not happy.
Why isn't he happy?
He didn't take advantage of the gift he was given.
You don't... Exactly. You didn't take advantage of the gift you've been given. You guys have been given a Bible. You've been given the opportunity to read it. You've been given the opportunity to worship. You've been given the opportunity to serve. You've been given the opportunity to live. You've been given the opportunity to share the gospel. You've been given the opportunity to do good for others. You've been given so much opportunity. You have. You've got gifts and abilities. Use them for the Lord. So have I. I might be a 2. You don't have a 10 talent pastor or whatever. You've got 2. But I'm going to use the 2 for all I got. Do you know what I mean? That's how we all should be.
Yes. But he was wicked.
Why what? But he was wicked? Right.
Yeah. Because he was called wicked.
Because he was lazy. Every man should hear that. What? Myself, men can be lazy. And he says, Jesus, the master said, "You wicked, lazy servant, I gave you so much opportunity. I gave you so much. I entrusted with you. All this time, all this opportunity, people around you that love the Lord, you could talk to, pray with. What were you doing? You wicked, lazy servant. Wake up." Whatever. Yes. Oh, yes.
I think it also was deeper than just didn't use enough. It was a betrayal of trust. It was a deeper frustration because he entrusted them to something valuable.
Yes.
He betrayed them.
Agree. I think you'll even see that in the next verses. So here he goes. The master replied, "You wicked lazy." So you knew, and the Greek construct is like, "Oh, you knew, did you? You knew that I was." You knew this is how it was? A hard, intolerable arm? You knew this? Did you? You knew that I harvested where I have not sown, call me a thief, gathered where I have not scattered? So here he's calling him on the carpet. Well then, this is an excuse. Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. That word interest is takos. And that just means simple interest. In other words, if this was really true, that you really thought this, I was a hard man, I was an unmerciful man, if this was really true, then you would have taken my money to the bank, getting 5% interest. If that was really the case, right?
If life is so hard for you, if you're in a situation where life is really deals you a bad hand, you know, your wife dies, your kid has leukemia, you lose your job, you become disabled, you know, whatever. You know, life has dealt you a really bad hand. You still need to trust me.
Absolutely. You could at least give simple interest. You could at least take it to the bank. Back in those days, that's what they used to do, 10%. You know, you bring it to a banker at the city gate, you get 10% interest, they give you back about 5%. Could have at least done that. Some people meet thinks that, well, you could invest it in missions or something like that. I don't know, maybe that's a stretch, but okay, you've given it to other people who could have made your money or made me money back. If that was really the case. But he's exposing him right now. He's wicked and lazy because he didn't use what God entrusted to him. And it says this, this is even worse to me. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, for everyone who has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And then listen to this. Throw out the worthless servant. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Listen. You might be thinking here, well, I'm not wasting it all the time. I'm not doing anything really bad with it. Maybe you're just not doing anything with it. God is saying, that's not okay. You wicked, lazy servant, I've given you my gift of my Son. I've given you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've given you all. I give you God, my word. It says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness and freedom. Yet you're not doing, you're not obeying, you're not serving. Something's wrong. And this, I'm going to have to go quickly because the next bit, I am going to do it, so you're going to hate me for that. But this next one, it says it's not a parable, it's just the sheep and the goats. I want to read through this really quickly. And again, the point is that we need to be working. And the little things count. This thing of the sheep, this is actually going to happen, but it's the principle that I want to get to. And so in verse 31, would somebody mind reading this for me and just starting verse 31?
Will.
Okay, Jim.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will gather before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Go on.
I'll stop you right there.
Okay.
You know, even today, if you guys notice that He's going to put the sheep, what does it say, the sheep on His right?
Yep.
And according to all sources, Roman, Greek, Jewish, if they put you on the right side in a court case, that means that you were innocent. That was the right side. And so He puts the sheep on the right side, and the goats go on the left, and He's going to separate them. He's going to separate them. And you know what? Even today, if you go to Israel, the sheep and the goats are together. They're kept together during the day. But they separate them to feed, and they separate them to rest. Because when they rest, the sheep are pretty docile. They'll just follow the master wherever he goes. But the goats, they're kind of rebellious. They're rambunctious. You know what I'm saying? So in order for them to go into their rest, you have to separate the sheep and the goats. To feed, too. Have you ever been here to a church? If you have an unbeliever come to this church, he's going to hate it. He's just going to be trying to crack jokes. He's going to be trying to, you know, pick. He just won't like it because there's so much of a word. It's like, John! Same thing when you go into the rest. The sheep are going to go to one side. The goats are going to go to the other. The sheep are going to listen to their master's voice. And the goats are going to butt. Lambs go baa, and the goats are going to butt. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah,
they're going to butt heads. That's exactly what they do. They're going to rebel. The goats, I know what God says, but. And we did a purity teaching for the youth, and one of the questions was, you know, how far, and I appreciate the question, you know, how far, you know, can we go? You know, where's the line for purity? Okay, now if I want to be pure, where's the line? And here's, I guess, if your goal in asking that question is, I want to know where the line is so I can stay as far away from it as possible, you know what I mean? To honor the Lord, then you're doing good. But the goats are like, I want to go right up to the millimeter of the line. Just like stick my little ram horn over it. There's always a but. I know I should obey God, but. I know I should be kinder to my husband, but. I know I should tithe, but. I know I should give more to my service to God, but. There's always the but. That's what goats do. The sheep listen to His voice and follow Him. This church and every church is going to be filled with wheat and tares. It's going to be filled with good soil, those in the good soil, and those that are not. Sheep and goats.
Pastor, it's funny how you said that. When I was married, my last name was Panda Lamp. Okay? Imagine having to say that to people that didn't understand my last name. I had to say Panda as in panda bear,
yeah,
and then Ram as the goat.
Yeah.
And I had to do that for 4.5 years to teach people how to say Panda Ram. And it was very, and it was very annoying. And then said, "Oh, is it Panda Rock?" I said, "No." And then you would have to do the the SOS, where you have to do the lettering, like A as an apple, stuff like that. I had to do that every time when I had to talk to people on the phone and stuff. And still today, some of my stuff has Panda Ram on it.
Yeah. But so now
it's funny that we're talking about that, because Ram is the goat.
That's right. Well, I even think, you know, Chantel, just, I mean, I look at you, we talked about this last week, but I look at you a year and a half ago, you were such a bitter, angry, hostile, hateful person. No offense.
Oh, I know.
And look at what God's done with you in the last year or two. You're taking discipleship courses, how can I get to the next Bible study? Love it! And that's what God does, that's what a sheep does. Somebody asked me last week, they told me, how do I know if I'm really, really saved? I'm like, well, are you desiring to please the Lord? Are you wanting to find out what He has to say to you? Are you wanting to obey His commands? Are you looking, what can I do to serve you, Lord? I want to find out more about you. How can I, is that your heart? I said, if it is, then I think you're okay. Once we went through the whole salvation thing, you know what I mean, too. Continue reading, would you, verse 34? Was that Debbie Jo?
Oh, Debbie Jo.
That's right.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
You know what it says? You know what? Take your inheritance. You give an inheritance to a son. Romans 8 says that you are adopted sons and daughters. Yep. Those who believe in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 says you're a son. If you obey my commands, the son will set you free. The son has a place in the family, or a daughter. Keep going.
And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king replied.
Can I just read right there? What do you notice with the righteous, what they're saying, how they're answering this? What do you notice?
They didn't know they were
good. They didn't recognize their good works.
They were being bitter and rude to him.
Yeah. Well, what about this one that says, hey, the righteous said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? Or thirsty? When did
they
we do
weren't
that?
Understanding.
They didn't even realize that
they were good ones.
They didn't even realize they were, I'm just doing what was right. I'm just doing it for you, Lord. All I was doing was feeding people. All I was doing was clothing them, right? All I was doing was listening to them, caring for them, that's all. But if you remember, you remember on the road to Damascus when Paul met Jesus? Paul was persecuting all those Christians and he's throwing them in jail. Remember that? Mm-hmm. What did he say? He said, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, there's a lot of times where Jesus will say that. You know, he'll say, if you received one of these little ones in my name, you received me. Matthew, I think it was 18:5.
Even if you give a cup of water to you.
Even if you give a cup of water in my name, you've done it for me. So So what I want you guys to see here too, whatever you do for your brothers and sisters, if nobody else notices, if I don't say, oh, great job, Chris, oh, great job, Hezekiah, if I don't say that to you, it doesn't matter. Because the Lord is saying, everything you do to your brothers and sisters in this room, in His name, you've done it for Him. Even if it's giving them a cup of water, a bagel, a ride, a kind word, a listening ear, a prayer, you've done it for Him. Now I want you to think about the contrary there too. What if you're speaking badly? Anthony, that, or, I want you to think about the last time you said something bad to a brother or sister. Your wife, your husband, your daughter, your brother, sister. Jesus said, you're saying it to me. You're going to have to give an account of every idle word that comes out of your mouth. I just get emotional. Well, I just get angry.
Well, don't
sin, you're angry. Out of the mouth of babes. And then listen to the other side. It says, the king replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did to the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. What do you think? Whatever. What does that mean? Whatever you did? What does that mean? Yeah?
No matter how little.
No matter how little, whatever you do. Well, what is the least? Who's the least of these? Yeah, who's the least of these? What?
Everybody. The least.
Could be children. What else?
With hardly nothing.
The least. Poor, destitute.
Poor, destitute. Mentally challenged. You name it. Folks who've got nothing. Whatever you do, you say, you've done it for me. Don't think your work is going unnoticed by the Lord. He does, and He will reward you.
Also, it does seem that they don't even know that they're doing these things because it's not hard work. They're serving the Lord, and when you're serving the Lord, it's not hard work. You're doing what you like to do.
Yeah. Well, it is what I like to do. Sometimes it is hard work, though. It does.
Most of the time, things that go unnoticed by yourself,
yeah,
it just because it's a natural thing.
And you enjoy
it's
it.
It's natural.
Do you enjoy helping others?
Yeah, and so there you are. And, you know, God's looking at it, and He sees, He's taking account of it. But you know what? We're very often not going to, I think when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be surprised at how many things He shows us. Yes. And that we're going to be flabbergasted because that was no big deal.
Yes.
I didn't see that as anything, you know. But yeah. but to God, it's important.
And then He says, and He'll say to those on His left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire. How long is eternal? Prepared. And who is it prepared for? The devil and his angels. Right. If you notice the contrast, it says that he prepared it for the other folks, the righteous. In verse 34, it says that the kingdom of God, heaven, was prepared for you since the creation of the world. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So if you want to go there, if you want to reject God, it's your choice. You do it. And then he goes on to say, for I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, why did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, and needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and didn't help you? And He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will say, then they will go away to eternal punishment. Some of you say everlasting, but it's actually the same word there. Eternal punishment. And then it says, but the righteous to eternal life, or everlasting life. Wow. There is going to be a judgment. And I still remember Rich Mullins. I was going to play the song, but it lasted too long. I'd love to play the song. Maybe I'll send it out as a text. but it's a song where it's about 7 minutes long. I think it's just called The Sheep and the Goats. But he just kind of goes through, he basically teaches the whole thing by playing the song in the piano. And I just, actually, it was a Keith Green. I said, which moment was Keith Green, actually, now I think about it. Yeah, Keith Green, Sheep and the Goats. So I'll send that out as a text, but I want you to listen to it. It is just, every time I hear that song, I tell you, it shakes me up. What does that speak to you guys as we're going through these parables? The 10 virgins, parable of the talents, the sheep and the goats. What is that saying to you? Or is it? What is it speaking to you?
Get ready now. Go out and do my work and tell people about me. And don't be lazy.
And do good deeds. Right. Nice summation. Yes.
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead. Yes.
That actually had a song. I wish you guys would listen to that because we grew up listening to it. And I remember as a little girl, probably 7 or 8, like 10, and I heard that song. And boy, I made a decision. I said, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do the whole rest of my life. I was terrified. And in a good way, I think we as believers, especially in this country, we have such a lack of respect for our master and a lack of fear. We fear for him.
Yes.
The fact that he's not our
oh boy.
He's not our equal. He is our master. And when your master requires something of you, he's not asking you to do it. This is a command. And obviously he loves us, so you know that makes it a lot easier to obey him. But I just want to encourage us as a church to remember when you read these things, he's not saying a friend asked a friend. He's saying a master.
Yes.
A master. A master is one who has all authority over you. And
yes.
We as a people, and I wish we could return to that simple fear and love for our master, that he's on our side, he's going to work for us, he's going to, you know, day and night, he's going to be perfecting his work in us, and he has good things for us, but he's our master. And you don't say no to Almighty God. Yes, good boy. You know, just to return to that simple, childlike, you're my dad, you're huge, I'm very little, I'm going to do what you said.
But what about but?
Don't
listen to the but.
He's Almighty God. He has that authority.
You know what? One of the biggest things I ever did when I went into the ministry full time, I took a 70% reduction in pay, and my wife stopped working, and that with that income, and we had a new baby on the way. There was no way we could make it.
Was that me?
That was you, actually. There was literally no way that we could make it. And I literally could think of 100 excuses why this would not work. And they were all even good and logical. But then there was the one thing that the Lord is saying for me to do this. And I stepped out in faith, one of the best things I ever did, one of the most difficult things I ever did. But I also say one of the most rewarding things I ever did. Because God has blessed me and provided for me in ways that I never would have realized if I didn't just step out. Some of you guys need to step out. You need to step out and be a little bit more ready. You need to step out and be a little bit more working until He comes. Some of you need to step out with those good deeds. You know what I mean? Some of you need to make good use of the talents He's given you. Some of you guys have time. I think about when I was single and I thought, oh man, I have no time for anything. And then I get married, and I thought, wow, I had so much time when I was single, you know? And then now that I was married, and when I had a kid, I was like, man, I'm thinking, I have no time now. I thought when I was married, and then you have like 2, 3, 4 kids, you realize you're not, and then you full-time ministry. I mean, some of you guys have been blessed with energy, some have been blessed with time, some have been blessed with finances, some of you are blessed with abilities. Use it for His kingdom. If you don't know where to use it, come see me. I've got plenty of stuff for you to do. Okay? But I'm telling you, ask the Lord, are you using your talents for Him? Can you step out of your comfort zone? Okay? Right. Yes, anybody else?
I think probably the most important thing you said all day is just good morning.
Okay.
Ask the Lord.
Right.
He is looking for obedience, not performance. So many people try to figure it out on their own and say, I'm going to go do this and this and this and this and this and this, instead of going to the Lord and saying, what would you have me do? And then stepping out in obedience as opposed to trying to perform for the Lord. One ends in frustration and guilt and anger and all kinds of stuff, and the other one ends in satisfaction. Let's be obedient.
And if you're a one, don't try to be a five. Just be what he's given you. Don't drive yourself crazy. Don't frustrate you. Just do, give, use what he's given you. First one. Anybody else? Okay. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. That does not return void. I pray, Father, that you would stir your people, even right here in the sound of my voice, up to love and good deeds, Lord God. That they would indeed ask you, Lord, to search their hearts. And I ask you to search my heart. Lord, see if I am being lazy with what you've given me, Lord God. Lord, I want to give you a full return on your investment, Lord. I want to recognize that you have invested in me. And I want to recognize, Lord God, that you have given me so much privilege, Lord. Even though I don't see it all the time, Lord God, forgive me for that. You've given me so much, Lord. Help me to use it for your honor and for your glory, Lord God. I pray that you help this body, this church, these people, my friends, my family, Lord God, that you've put here at this church, that you would stir them up, Lord God, to love and good deeds, that they would be waiting and working, Lord God, for you, Lord God, serving you until you come. They can hear those real words, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because they had to, Lord, but just because they wanted to. Looking forward to your coming. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We ask that you speak to your children, even as they leave. Encourage them this week. As often as I did it to the least of these, you've done it. Thank you, Lord. We love you and bless you. Pray a blessing on this body. Right now. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Have a blessed week. In Jesus' name.